There is just a small part of a verse in Hosea chapter 2 that I want to share with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Let me first set the scene. Like many of the other prophet books of the Bible, Hosea, for the most part, is a message of judgment, a message of punishment. God's people have deserted him. They've disobeyed him. They've disobeyed his law. They've rejected God. They've rebelled against God. They've forsaken him. They've chased after other gods. Rather than relying on God, they've relied. They've looked to other nations. And for that, there is coming for them his judgment, God's wrath to be poured out upon them. And it's verse after verse of God, by way of the prophet Hosea, warning of that. It's incredibly unique, really, and very interesting, though, this book, and how God presents Israel's unfaithfulness and his subsequent response to them. In chapter 1, we get this, God's instruction to the prophet. Go and get married. Then this, though your wife will be unfaithful. It's going to be a disastrous marriage. It's going to be a disastrous relationship for Hosea. Your wife will be unfaithful, and your children will be just like her. And then immediately following that, we read this in Hosea 1 and verse 2. In the same way, my people have left me and have become unfaithful. God's relationship with Israel, how Israel has treated God, how Israel has responded to God, how God would respond then to them, it's going to be demonstrated, pictured, and played out in Hosea's marriage, in Hosea's family. It begins with rebellion, really adultery, and subsequent punishment. Again, this is the bulk of the book. Hosea's wife will be unfaithful to him and cast out. But remember, this isn't really about Hosea. It's not about his wife. Oh, shame on her. No, it's not about that. It's not about him. It's not about her. It's not about their marriage. This is about God and his people. Israel has been unfaithful to God, guilty of spiritual adultery. They had been unfaithful. Just as Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him, so Israel had been unfaithful to God and worshiped and served and sacrificed to other gods. And for that, even as Hosea's wife was, they would be cast out and into exile. This just in part, really even just from chapter 2, God's message of punishment on Israel. In chapter 2 and verse 3, Israel would be a dry and barren land. They would die of thirst. In verse 4, an incredible verse, they would be shown no mercy by God. In verse 6, Israel would be fenced in by briars and thorn bushes, hindered from finding what she sought after, lost. In verse 9, the harvest grain, the wine, the wool, the linen would all be taken away. In verse 11, her festivities would be brought to an end. There would be no rejoicing because there would be no reason for rejoicing. In verse 12, the grapevines, the orchards, the fig trees would be destroyed. What once flourished would be turned into a wilderness. In verse 13, the summation of it all, simply to put it this way, God would punish her. Hosea's children will also play a part in this illustration, named by God's response to Israel. The first son will be named Jezreel, because there, in that place, in that valley, the king's dynasty would come to an end. And Israel's military power would be destroyed. Hosea's second child, the daughter, she would be named unloved, because God would no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. And the third, another son, he would be named not my people, because the people of Israel are not God's people and he is not their God. God's judgment, God's punishment on Israel for their sin, for their spiritual adultery, for their forsaking of him in pursuit of other gods, gods made of stick and stone, for the rejection of him, for the rebellion against him, God's judgment, God's punishment on Israel, for that was very, very, very real and presents throughout the entire book and in many ways throughout the entire latter portion of the Old Testament, presents a very, very, very bleak and bad, dark and depressing, helpless and hopeless condition for Israel. But that's not all the book. That's not all of God's message to his people by way of his prophet. In the midst of judgment, there is mercy. Oh, aren't you glad for God who in the midst of judgment declares mercy even there and then over his people? In the midst of punishment, there's redemption. There's restoration. In the midst of the bleak and bad, dark and depressing, helpless and hopeless, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their rebellion, in the midst of their rejection of God, even there, even then, because of who he is, for Israel, there is hope. I'm reminded of this from Exodus 34, how the Lord reveals himself to Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. Through the prophet Jeremiah in his book of weeping, we read it this way: oh, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You know it. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. David's psalm goes like this in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Before the first chapter of Hosea concludes, the Lord will declare over Israel a coming day when they will once again grow and prosper in the land. In chapter 2, we read this in verse 19. Israel, I will make you my wife. I'll be true and faithful. I'll show you constant love and mercy and make you mine forever. I will keep my promise and make you mine, and you will acknowledge me as Lord. At that time, I will answer the prayers of my people Israel. I will make rain fall on the earth, and the earth will produce grain and grapes and olives. I will establish my people in the land and make them prosper. I will show love to those who were called, do you remember? Unloved. And to those who were called, do you remember? Not my people. I will say, you are my people. And they will answer, and you are our God. In Hosea 11 and verse 8, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. Lest you're here this morning and you sense that you've wandered too far. You've drifted too long into sin. Hear the word of the Lord to you this morning. How can I give you up? The Lord calls you by name. How can I give you up? How can I quit on you? Lest you're inclined to think it's too late for your son and daughter because they've drifted too far. They've gone too long without Jesus. Their heart too cold. Their heart too hard. Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. How could God give up on them? Sharon, how could God give up on Jordan? Kathy, how could God ever give up on David? No, he can't. He can't. He can't. And he won't. I can't give up on you. I can't abandon you. Could I ever destroy you? My heart won't let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I'll not destroy Israel again, for I'm God and not a mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you. I will not come to you in anger. In chapter 14, the conclusion of it all, the Lord says, I will bring my people back to me. I will love them with all my heart. No longer am I angry with them. Once again, they will live under my protection. I will answer their prayers and take care of them. Like an evergreen tree, I will shelter them. I will be the source of all their blessings. The message this morning is simple, though I believe it to be a real word from the Lord for us today. No matter how bleak, no matter how bad, no matter how dark, no matter how depressing, no matter how helpless and hopeless your life would appear to be, whether it be because of sin, whether it be because of rebellion, whether it be because of backsliding and wandering away from the things of God, whether it be because of the troubles of this life, listen to the word of the Lord. In him, because of him, you, like Israel could then, you can have hope today. I like it best the way we read it in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15, our text this morning. From the Good News Translation. And oh, for sure, this is the good news today. Listen, this, the word of the Lord, I say that with all sincerity. You have to hear me this morning. The word of the Lord for us, New Life. The word of the Lord for you, my brother. The word of the Lord for you, my sister. That you're here today, it's not because this is where you are every Sunday morning at 10:30. This is because the Lord has a word for you. This is the word of the Lord for us, his people. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. I will make Trouble Valley a door of hope. Some of you are in Trouble Valley this morning. But the Lord, he meets with you here in this place to put a door of hope for you there. It's interesting when we consider really how this message plays out. Oddly enough, tucked away in this minor prophet book, what really ultimately becomes and is the meaning and the message of Christmas. A world lost in sin and darkness, rejecting God, rebelling against him, destined for judgment, destined for punishment, destined for hell, helpless and hopeless, in Trouble Valley. But then in Bethlehem's stable, the door of hope. the light that shines in that darkness. The baby born in a manger whose name is Jesus, because he will be the Savior of the world. He will save people from their sin. He will bring people back to God. He will be the gift that delivers from death and grants instead eternal life in heaven. The world in Trouble Valley. Oh, but because he so loved the world, in Trouble Valley, God made a door of hope for the world, for Israel. This is the Messiah that has been born, the long-awaited Messiah. This is the redemption of Israel. This is the one-born King of the Jews who will one day return in glory and rule and reign over all the earth from Jerusalem, from David's throne, in fulfillment of all the prophecies from God, all the promises of God. In him and through him, salvation will come to all Israel. In Romans chapter 11, Paul writes as much. I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. God's people, God's city will be redeemed and restored. Under his millennial reign, all the world will go to Jerusalem to worship the descendant of David, the king of all the earth. More personal for us today. Isn't it true? You and me, we were in Trouble Valley for sure. Guilty as charged, our sins stacked against us. No way of escape. No way out. The punishment, the wages reserved for us, death. Even, in fact, an eternal hell. Oh, but into Trouble Valley comes a door of hope for us. Jesus. Jesus, who would bear the burden of our sin, so that now for us, according to 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become, listen now, the righteousness of God. Oh, don't you see the door of hope that God put for you in Trouble Valley? A Jesus that would redeem you. A Jesus that would restore you. A Jesus that would take away all your sins and give to you in their place the very righteousness of God. Isn't it good to know our hope is not in our good works? Listen to me. There's a better hope for you than to put your hope in good works. Can I just say it the way it is? We're not as good as we'd like to think we are. It's good news this morning that you don't have to put your hope in good works. You don't have to put your hope in someone else's bad works, making us look good just because we're not as bad as them. Our hope is not trying to catch God on a good day. Oh, maybe today he'll love me. Maybe today he'll accept me. Maybe when I get to heaven, he'll feel bad for me and he'll see all the good that I did and all the bad that I didn't do, and he'll have compassion on me and he'll save me then. No, listen, your hope doesn't have to be that it's a good day when you stand before the Lord. Our hope is in Jesus, and because it is, our hope is secure. If your hope is in Jesus this morning, you can know that the Trouble Valley that was Sin Valley for you, you've been forgiven. You're saved and sanctified, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, friends with God, children of God, no longer slaves to sin and death, set free, redeemed. Redeemed, oh how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Trouble Valley, in Sin Valley, Oh, didn't he provide for you a door of hope? Didn't he turn things around for you, for your life? This morning, no matter the sin, no matter the rejection of God, no matter the rebellion against him, no matter the failure, the good news gospel is a message of hope, because upon Jesus was laid the iniquity of us all. No matter how deep and dark the valley of your sin, into that valley comes the door of hope that is Jesus, willing and able because of Calvary to take your sin from you and give to you in its place his righteousness. Into that valley of shame, to that valley of regret, comes the door of hope that is Jesus. I think of Peter having betrayed, denied the Lord three times. And there then Jesus on the beach, calling to Peter back out in the boat, cast your nets on the other side. Into Peter's despair, into his anguish, into his denial and betrayal, in Trouble Valley, oh, there's a door of hope that's presented to Peter. I think of Paul standing, holding the coats of those who murdered God's servant, Stephen. Paul was in trouble. Paul was in Trouble Valley for sure. But then on that Damascus road, the door of hope and a voice from heaven, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Adam and Eve in the garden in trouble, having wandered from God, betrayed God, disobeyed God. But then the door of hope, the voice in the garden, Adam, Eve, where are you? I think of Moses having murdered the Egyptian, forced to flee, his hope gone. He's done. God can't use him anymore. Going to be the deliverer of Israel, but surely can't now. He's messed up too much. He's done too much. Oh, but in Trouble Valley, the door of hope that meets Moses at the burning bush. I think of David. David, who had been warned, that's Uriah's wife. David, time out. You want me to bring to you, David, listen, Uriah's wife. David was in Trouble Valley. David was in real Trouble Valley. But do you remember the prophet that comes? David, you're the man. You've messed up. You've sinned. But the Lord has forgiven your sin. No wonder David will later write in the Psalms, if thou, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. For David, in the midst of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, a door of hope that was forgiveness, even redemption, and restoration. Glad that the Lord has saved us from Trouble Valley that is Sin Valley. Every one of us in this room know the Trouble Valley that is more than that. And probably, considering us in the room, this may be more the message for us. Again, not to discount nor to neglect our gratitude for what the Lord has done in saving us from our sin, but maybe more this. Trouble Valley that's sickness. Trouble Valley that's financial trouble. Discouragement. Frustration. Uncertainty, what the future holds. What we should do. Which way should we take? Which way should we avoid? Struggling in relationships. Even broken relationships. Family, children, grandchildren, stressing us out because of bad decisions. Fear and worry, anxiety because of what's happening all around us. Loneliness, grief, heartache, Trouble Valley. Listen to me this morning, if you find yourself there. Listen to the word of the Lord today. Through his prophet Isaiah many, many years ago, and through his servant from this pulpit today, hear the word of the Lord. In Trouble Valley, he makes for you a door of hope. Can I remind you today? He's the healer. He's the helper. He's the provider. He's the deliverer. He's the way maker. He's the mender. He's the restorer. He's the resurrector. He's the one who is faithful and true. Faithful to provide for us the door of hope, no matter the troubled valley we find ourselves in. The children of Israel had the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh's army behind them. They were in troubled valley. But don't you know the Lord, he makes a door of hope even there in that place. And they walk through that sea is turned into a highway for them as they walk across into deliverance. I think of Daniel in the lion's den, commanded not to pray. If you pray, Daniel, you break the law, and we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel leaves that meeting and opens wide his windows and turns his face to Jerusalem and begins to cry out to God, no doubt for all to hear. And he is in trouble. The lion's den of trouble. But you know it, don't you? There the Lord provides a door of hope. And the lions' mouths are shut. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire because they will not bow. In Trouble Valley, for them, the door of hope that is the fourth man that walks with them in the fire. Again and again, the stories of Israel, the story of the disciples, don't you remember, more than once out on the sea, and the sea becomes tumultuous and the wind begins to blow and the waves begin to rise. On one occasion, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. On another, he comes walking to them on the water. In both, doesn't matter how Jesus comes, you have to know this morning he comes. And when he does, don't you know, it's the door of hope that God's presented to you in Trouble Valley. In Acts 23, Paul is once more in prison. If Paul's not preaching, he's in prison. And once more, he finds himself there. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. In that deep, dark dungeon cell in Trouble Valley, for Paul, a door of hope that is simply the Lord sitting by him and saying, Paul, take courage. Listen to me, church, the word of the Lord today. The Lord sits with you this morning. Take courage. It's the door of hope. In your trouble valley, God makes a door of hope. The song says it this way. He turns graves to gardens, bones to armies, seas to highways. In trouble valley, he makes the door of hope. He's the only one who can. And he is your God. He is your Father. And listen, it's the message of Christmas. He is Emmanuel, meaning this. He is your God and he is your Father right here, right now in the room. Because he is with us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. Jesus to tarry one day, every single one of us will find ourselves in Trouble Valley, that is Death Valley. And if our hope is only in a hope in this life, if our hope is only in a door of hope for this life until that moment where then there is no door of hope, We are to be pitied. Oh, but don't you know it to be true? No one needs to pity us. In that moment in Death Valley, there will be the door of hope for us that is resurrection life for us. The door of hope that is this: to be absent from here is to be present there with him. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will go on to say, Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of who have fallen asleep. And then Paul says this, and I tell you then a mystery. We will not all sleep. We'll be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Aren't you glad for the door of hope in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, change? From perishable to imperishable, mortal to immortal, raised. Aren't you glad for the door of hope that in the valley of death defeats death, swallows it up in victory that is triumphant life? Many of us in this room, we're past halfway. We have less to live than we've already lived. But that ought not to intimidate you. That ought not even to bother you. Because you have the assurance he will make for you a door of hope in the valley of trouble that is that trouble that is death. And that door of hope will be for us everlasting life with him. In 1 John 2, so you must remain faithful to what you've been taught. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. Do you understand? No wonder we don't mourn as those who have no hope. No wonder we are set free from grief. Not that we don't grieve, we do, we're just not enslaved by it. Rather, we live in the rejoicing, ever thanking God for the gift that is eternal life. Ever thanking God for Jesus, the resurrection and the life, the door of hope, who makes it so that whoever believes in him lives, even though they die. How about this? This world, in and of itself, it's trouble. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it true in a sense? Every moment spent here, it's time spent in Trouble Valley. How good then to know. Soon and very soon, there's going to be the door of hope that is the sound of a trumpet. And the dead in Christ to rise. And then we who are alive and remain to meet them and to meet the Lord in the air and to be forever and ever with them and with him. That's the door of hope. Paul calls it our blessed hope. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that with that hope, we are to encourage one another. So let me encourage you today. I don't care what you saw in the news this last week. You need to hear me. Your king is coming. Soon and very soon, there's to be the sound of a trumpet. I don't care what the doctor has said. It doesn't matter the financial trouble you find yourself in. You need to hear me this morning. Soon and very soon, there's going to be the shout, the command from heaven, and you and me are going to go to then our real home to be forever and ever with the Lord. I encourage you with that. Today. Trouble Valley doesn't last forever. Soon and very soon, the king's coming. As the hymnist puts it, A day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. No sorrow there. No burdens to bear. No more sickness, no more pain. No more parting over there. And forever we will be with the one who died for me. Do you know it? Oh, what a day. What a glorious day that will be. Here and now, this world, trouble. Oh, but there is a door of hope that God makes in Trouble Valley for us. For your sin, for your problem, for your worry, for your fear, for your concern, for your difficulty, for your dilemma, for your trial, for your tribulation, for your misfortune, for your mess, for your suffering, for your hurt, for your sickness, for your heartache, for your eternity. This, the word of the Lord, I will make Trouble Valley a door of hope. Can I challenge you with this? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly then to the hope we profess. Listen now. For he who promised is faithful. Dear brother, dear sister, even in Trouble Valley for you, there is the door of hope that he provides. Hold unswervingly to that hope. I wonder, do I speak to some this morning you've let go of the hope? Maybe some you were about to until you got to this moment. Listen to me. Hold unswervingly to the hope you profess, because he is faithful. In Trouble Valley, he'll be the hope that will sustain you and strengthen you, the hope you can hold to. And can I encourage you in this, Paul's prayer and mine for you from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Here it is. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's hope in you. That's hope in you. To a full kind of capacity. That's hoping you, so there's no room. You're filled with hope. There's no room for discouragement. There's no room for despair. That's hope in you, even hope flowing out of you. No matter the trouble valley you find yourself in today, be filled with hope, and be so filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit that wherever you go tomorrow, you will be a distributor of hope. You're going to encounter people out there. They're in Trouble Valley. Let them see in you a God who loves them, a God who's for them, and who makes for them, even in their trouble valley, a door of hope. Father, I pray this morning, first for my brother and sister, discouraged, unsettled because of things going on, health, finances, family. God, probably it's true, only you truly know the full extent, whatever they're going through, how it's impacted them. Their mind is worried. Their mind is bothered. There's a There's an uneasiness they feel on the inside. There's an anxiousness. There's a worry. There's a fear. What's going to happen? What's next? How's this going to play out? And Lord, truth of the matter, just full disclosure, the way it is, there's even a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. Simply put, in the context of your word today, my brother, my sister, this morning's in Trouble Valley. Lord, would you make a door of hope? Would you make a door of hope for them there? Lord, I pray that you would do it even in this moment. Encourage, strengthen, revive, lift up. In Trouble Valley, provide the door of hope. I pray for my brother, I pray for my sister today, that we are filled to overflowing. And I pray, God, as we go from this place in just a few minutes, that wherever we go, whoever we would encounter, we would be a distributor of hope, letting them know in their trouble valley, God, you'd be the door of hope for them, no matter their sin. No matter how wicked they are, no matter how far from you, no matter how great their trouble, no matter what the doctor has said, there's no hope, there's no help. No matter the financial difficulty, no way getting out of that mess. No matter what, that Lord, we, by the testimony of our own lives and how you've been the door of hope for us in our own trouble valley, the testimony of our own lives, the hope within us, the hope overflowing out of us by the power of your Spirit, we would go and encounter them and let them to know there is a God who turns Trouble Valley into the door of hope. Would you help us, Lord, to do that? We know it. We're going to encounter people that need to hear that this week. This Christmas season, we're going to encounter people that need to hear that. Help us. Help us to be distributors of hope. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. In just a few minutes, we're going to partake of communion. But before we do, can we just spend a little time in the presence of the Lord? Music's going to play. Altars are open. I just want to encourage you, whether you come forward or stay where you sit, whether you pray, whether you worship with the music, lift your hands, whatever you do, I just want to encourage you to enter in. Would you enter in into this time? Would you meet with the Lord? We've heard the word of the Lord. But now you meet with him and respond to what he would say to you this morning. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it. He gave thanks for it. Declaring that this is his body broken for us. Declaring once and for all in Trouble Valley, there's a door of hope. Because by his stripes, you know it. Come on now. We're healed. We're healed. We're healed in our body. We're healed in our heart. We're healed in our mind. In Trouble Valley, the door of hope. Because of this that we hold in our hands, his body that was broken for us. Father, I pray. Lord, I don't just pray hope. I pray healing for my brother, for my sister today. If you need healing in your body, if you need healing in your heart or mind, would you just lift your hand? If you need healing in your spirit, you need revival to come. You need to be restored. Would you just lift your hand? Hold it just for a minute. Eyes are closed. It's okay. It's fine. It's not weird or awkward. Just hold your hand. Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. Lord, rather, let me say it this way. My brother, my sister, I declare over you the word of God. By his stripes, you're healed. That's not my word. That's not pie in the sky thinking whatever. We'll just say it enough till it. That's the word of the living God who cannot lie. That's the word of the one who is ever faithful and ever true. Hear the word of the Lord today. By his stripes, you are healed. By his broken body, you are mended and made whole. Put your hope in that this morning. Put your hope in that. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. This is his blood shed for us. Once more, in the context of this morning's message, in the trouble valley, that sin valley, this is the door of hope. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. It's not because of the good you've done. There's no power in the good you've done. Oh, you know what I'm about to say? But there's power, wonder-working power in his blood. There's no power in that you're better than so-and-so. Well, at least I don't do like they do. There's no power in that. Oh, but there's power. There's power in his blood. Listen to me today. You're accepted by the Father. You're a child of God. You don't need to question that anymore. You don't need to doubt that anymore. You might need to do a little better living like you're accepted by him and a child that belongs to him. All of us, that's always the work in progress for us. But listen, the door of hope in the troubled valley of sin has been made available to you and to me. You've received him, right? As your Lord, as your Savior. You count him as that. Listen, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Rest in that. I don't know who your earthly father may be, but I know who your heavenly father is. And I don't know who loves you on this earth, but I know who loves you in heaven. I don't know who's for you here, but I know who's for you there. I know his power. I know his might. I know that nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's impossible for him. Aren't you glad for the door of hope? Do I speak to some former sinners in the room that are glad? In Sin Valley, there was a door of hope made available to me. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blood that washes away all our sins. We just take a moment. We read it a moment ago in 1 John, just prior to that. If we say we have no sin, then we prove ourselves to be a liar. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us. Would you just confess your sin to the Lord this morning? Just privately, you don't have to say that out loud, just in your heart. Lord, I'm angry too much. I lust too much. I gossip too much. I don't forgive like I should. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my pride. Lord, forgive me for my complacency in relationship with you. Forgive me for being lukewarm. Forgive me. Forgive me for not helping the poor like I should, the widow, the orphan. Forgive me. Forgive me that I think wrong, do wrong, talk wrong. Forgive me. We just confess our sins to the Lord this morning. Listen to me now. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. Because of this that you hold in your hands. This that represents his blood shed for us. Lord, we thank you for Calvary today. We thank you for the blood that washes us, makes us white as snow. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise the name of Jesus this morning. Would you lift your hands? Would you clap your hands? Would you do something just to praise Jesus for a minute? Oh, we praise the name of the Lord our God. We praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet this morning and let me pray the blessing of the Lord over you. I hope today, I pray today that you hear the word of the Lord. In Trouble Valley, a door of hope. In Trouble Valley, a door of hope for you, for me, for us. I pray that you receive that. No matter how you come in, you leave today hope-filled. Prepare to go and be a distributor of hope for the Lord. And I pray his blessing over you. Would you extend your hands to receive that this morning? I declare it over you in accordance to God's word. Under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly. Receive his blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and in Trouble Valley, not just give you hope, but give you his peace in Jesus' name. Receive that blessing by saying amen, would you?